I invite you to hear these words first from Luke's gospel and then second from the book of Revelation. Luke writes, "In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. The angel said, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel and a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards all people.'" And then from the book of Revelation, "And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon and his angels fought back, but they were defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. The great dragon was thrown down, the ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let all mortal flesh keep silence, and with fear and trembling stare, ponder nothing earthly minded, for with blessing in his hand, Christ our God to earth descended. Our full homage to demand.
During Advent, we talk about, we sing about, we read about God's messengers. Now, we commonly refer to them as angels, but the better term is really messengers, because when you go to the original languages that the Bible was written in, to the Greek, the word for messenger is angelos. Where we get angel from. If you go to the Old Testament, the word for messenger is malak. All of these refer to these angels or messengers of God. Now, it's also important to remember that these Greek and Hebrew words are used to describe not just heavenly messengers, but earthly ones as well. So today we want to dig a little bit further into what these messengers, what they're all about, how they point us to God, what's their message, and all those kind of things. And so I want us to specifically, though, look at this thing called the heavenly host. It's a term that shows up in hundreds of times in the scriptures, particularly in the Old Testament. We read about God, the Lord of the heavenly host. But probably what's most familiar to us that we hear this term is from the Christmas story as told by Luke that we just heard part of a moment ago. Luke, you know, he records, you know, the angels, an angel appears to the shepherds, angelos is the word there. So this messenger appears to the shepherds that on the night that Jesus was born and says what? What does the messenger say? "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, and this shall be a sign to you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And then what happens? Well, Luke tells us, "And suddenly there was with an angel, the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host." We sing about this, don't we? Right? "Praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill towards all people.'" So again, we read about it in Luke, you go to the Old Testament, you find the same term used over and over and over again, referring to this host of messengers, this host of angels. So what is this all about? Well, again, going back to the original words that were used, what we find is that host or heavenly host, in Luke, the Greek word is stratia. That means army. So a heavenly host is a heavenly army. That's what it means. That's literally what it means. In the Old Testament, again, the word there is not stratia because it wasn't written in Greek. It was written in Hebrew. And the word there, we say, is sabaoth. Sabaoth is the word. And again, it means army as well, referring to the God, the Lord of hosts, or the heavenly host. And we've probably, you didn't even know it, but we've sung this word before, or most likely you have. If you've ever sung Martin Luther's famous hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, well, guess what? In the second verse, we sing Lord Sabaoth, his name, from age to age the same, and he must win the battle. Now you know what you're actually singing about. Lord Sabaoth, Lord of hosts, in other words, Lord of the heavenly army, is what we're singing about. Jesus himself refers to these heavenly armies. He in Matthew's gospel, in chapter 26, you know, he's in the garden. He's arrested that night before his crucifixion the next day. And, you know, those temple guards come and they're getting ready to arrest him. And what happens? Peter, if you're reading the account, Peter takes his sword and he lops off the ear of one of those temple guards. And Jesus, what does he do? Jesus kind of rebukes him and says, hey, no. Do you think that I'm not able to ask my Father and he will send me more than 12 legions of angels right away? Again, the Hebrew word, I mean, the Greek word there is angelos, messenger, right? That he will send me no more than 12 legions of angels right away? Now, a legion was around 5,000 soldiers. So Jesus is talking, you know, don't you just think in an instant God would send 60,000 angels to fight for me? He could. But see, that's not the path I'm on, said Jesus. You know, my battle's not going to be won that way. I'm going to win this battle by laying down my life for humanity, by suffering and dying and being crucified for humanity, by showing the depth of God's love for humanity and calling humanity to a different way of life, to a life of love. I mean, Jesus could have called down 60,000 angels, the heavenly host. You know, God at the head, but that's what he chose not to do. But again, what is this heavenly host telling us about God or pointing us to? And I think it's really pointing us to the power and the might of God. I mean, in 2 Kings, we see this. In chapter 19, we find King Sennacherib. Sennacherib, I think that's how you say it. Not really good on those things, but Sennacherib from Assyria. And he's leading the Assyrian army against Jerusalem. And, you know, little Jerusalem compared to the Assyrian army doesn't really have a chance. Okay, this is the most powerful empire in the world at that time. And now they're descending upon Jerusalem. And so Sennacherib, they're surrounding the city there, Jerusalem, and they're going to destroy it like they have all these other cities. And then we read that King Hezekiah, he cries out to God. And this is what happens. In 2 Kings, it says, that very night, the angel of the Lord, so this is Malak, it's Hebrew, set out and struck down 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians there. Now, 185,000, that's just one angel. That's not even the whole heavenly host, right? Now, whether you read that literally or metaphorically, it doesn't really matter, okay? Because what it's doing is pointing us back to God's power, God's might. I mean, this whole thing about the Lord of hosts and the heavenly host is really, it's about God's power, reminding us that God is over all. God is all powerful. There's nothing comparable to God. There's nothing that's going to defeat God. God will ultimately win, defeat all his enemies. Again, this is what, to me, is what the scripture is teaching us, pointing us to. And that's an important thing for us to remember. And I believe that's how it speaks to us here and now, and reminding us that, you know, if we are people of faith and we believe that God is all powerful and almighty and that he is the Lord of the heavenly host, then we can look at what's happening in our world, in our own lives, okay? And we can say, you know what, I might be walking through this battle right now, or I'm going through this difficult situation or darkness, whatever it might be. The world might be going through that. But as we say a lot around here, darkness doesn't have the final word, right? evil and hate and sin and death don't have the final word, because God is the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the heavenly forces. He is almighty. He is powerful. And so darkness, whatever darkness that might be, is not going to last forever. The victory's already been won. It's what the book of Revelation is really all about. I mean, you can get into all the imagery and all that kind of stuff when you read it, and that's fine. You know, the lions and the horsemen and the eyes and the angel swords, all the fire and all that stuff, and that's great. But really, when you get down to it, the real meaning behind all that, well, again, what it's pointing us to is that the angels of the Lord, God himself, defeats the powers of darkness. Darkness does not prevail. Right. Revelation chapter 12 says, war broke out in heaven. We heard this. War broke out in heaven. Michael, he's the archangel. Michael is one of only two angels that are actually named in the scriptures. Gabriel being the other, and we're going to talk about that in a couple weeks. You know, there. But Michael and his angels, they fought against the dragon. The dragon and his angels fought back, but they were defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. The great dragon was thrown down, the ancient serpent who was called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. So, again, whether you read this literally or metaphorically, it really doesn't matter, because, at least to me, because what it say, what it's pointing us to is what's most important. All right, what it says, regardless of how you read it, is still the same. And that is that in the end, evil, darkness, does not prevail, does not have the final word. The Lord of hosts and his army in the end win. The heavenly host, again, reminds us and points us to God and his ultimate victory over evil, over darkness, over sin, over death. To me, this is what, again, when we read about these instances of the heavenly host, what is it reminding us? What is it telling us about God? But in the meantime, you know, and in the end, God wins, right? I get asked, you know, what's the book of Revelation all about? And my simple answer is, hey, God wins. That's it. But in the meantime, okay, how does God work on earth most of the time, right? I mean, is God routinely sending 185,000 angels to take out armies? No, I think he works mostly the way Jesus points us to, right? Jesus could have called down five legions of angels, but he didn't. He still could, but he didn't. So why doesn't he? And why doesn't he do that now? Well, think about this. I mean, Jesus has at his disposal, in a sense, right? He has over 2 billion Christians. 2 billion Christians here on earth. I mean, Jesus really doesn't need to call down legions of angels, celestial angels, to do his work. He's got over 2 billion Christians to be the hands and the feet and the voice of God in the world. If we are a follower of Jesus, guess what? We are part of the host, okay? The earthly host. All right? And Jesus, again, he has a quarter of the world's population at his disposal. If we're willing to listen, if we're willing to say, you know, here I am, Lord, send me, if we're willing to pay attention, if we're willing to become his voice, his hands, his feet, why? Because again, if we are willing to be part of God's host. Mother Teresa, she may have said this, she may have not. There's some debate now, but it doesn't matter because these words are still true. But they're attributed to Mother Teresa of Calcutta, who said, you know, we cannot all do great things, but small things done with great love can change the world. I mean, it's true. Small things done with great love can make a difference. It can change the world. That's why I said last week, I encourage you to, again, pay attention, to look around for the opportunities to be God's earthly angels, to be part of his host. Because you never know when that small thing might make a really big difference. Kind of like the story of this teenager I came across this week. A teenager by the name of Sammy. Sammy is a high schooler who was moved when she saw the story break of the shooting that happened back in 2022 at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas. You may remember that, right? If you recall, an 18-year-old, a former student there of the elementary school, he entered it and killed, shot fatally 19 students and two teachers, and then injured 17 more on that day. It was a dark day in our nation. Anytime that happens, that is a dark day. But Sammy saw that news story, and she thought, you know what, I want to do something. I want to do something, but you know, what can I do? And then she came up with this idea. Hey, you know what? I'm going to take some toys. I'm going to collect some toys and take them to those students there in Uvalde. All right? I mean, she wasn't solving the problem of school violence or school shootings in our country. She wasn't doing any of that. She just said, you know what? There are children down there. They're hurting, and I just want to show them that they are loved. And so that's what she started to do. She began to collect toys for these presents for the children there. She did this for months, okay? In fact, actually, here's the story that a local TV station did on her. Take a look.
Shope explains how she's making a difference from thousands of miles away.
We had 13 boxes ranging between 15 and 60 pounds.
That's a lot of donated toys, all collected by now 17-year-old Sammy McGee.
These are just little kids that had gone through something absolutely unimaginable.
And she says
they needed love, they needed help.
So Sammy spent months collecting toys to take to Uvalde, Texas. And on Saturday, her family was finally able to get them to kids there.
These little kids, probably like 5 years old, coming up to me saying thank you as they're holding a stuffed animal that was donated.
Sammy got with the local library and set up a room for families in the town to just walk in and pick out a toy.
I wanted them to know that they had that love and support from someone even in Kansas City.
While in Texas, Sammy was able to see the memorials there and meet families affected by the school shooting.
It really puts into perspective the innocence of the school, but the tragedy that happened that day.
As Sammy was setting up her toy drive in Uvalde, a group in town gave her an award.
I just want people to know that after being around these families, that even though it's been a year and after the world has moved on, after we've moved on, that these families, they still need love. They still need help. Trauma has not gone away.
In Lewisburg, Alan Chope, KNBC 9 News.
You know, this shall be a sign to you. There'll be a teenage girl coming, bringing toys to say that you are loved, that God hasn't forgotten you, and that there's hope. See, there are these are just some of the small things that are done with great love that can make a difference. You know, here in our own church at St. Stephen, it's as simple as picking a star from the Alliance Center tree that we have in our lobby, or preparing cowboy stew and brownies for the guest at the men's shelter here in Charlotte. It's about helping people. It's about helping to provide a warm place to lay their head because they have no other place to do so in conjunction with Room in the Inn ministry here in Charlotte. It's really what our Christmas Eve offering is always all about every year. You know, this year, it's about being God's hands and feet and heart in the world, to be part of, being part of the God of hosts. Right, and so this year is helping to build a multifamily residence here with Habitat for Humanity here in the Matthews area, and it'll be our 25th home that we've helped to construct since 1990. So St. Stephen's been a part of 25 home builds since 1990, and we're going to build another one. All right, a multi-residence home. So not just one family, but more than one family. We're going to be a part of that, helping fund it, helping to and be the hands and the feet, helping make that happen as well. That's part of what our Christmas Eve offering is going to. We don't keep it. We give it all away. And, you know, the other half of it is going to go to continue to assist those who were impacted by Hurricane Helene here in the mountains of Western North Carolina. You know, if you've seen the pictures, if you've been there yourself, you've seen just the devastation, and it's been over a month since that occurred, and man, it's still amazing to see the images of these communities that have been devastated. And so much of what's happening is still really in the recovery phase there. It's just getting this, cleaning the debris and getting it out, and the rebuilding is slowly starting to happen. But it's going to be, as far as the United Methodist Church is concerned, we're going to be present in these communities for the next, our mission director said, for the next 5 to 7 years, We're going to be present, helping to rebuild these communities, rebuild these the homes, whatever it might be. We're going to be there doing it long after it doesn't receive the attention that it has in the news, long after it's not on the forefront of many people's minds. We're going to still be there. And that takes funds, and that takes resources, and that takes people being willing to be the hands and the feet, to be part of God's host in these various ways. We're going to still be there, you know, to be those earthly angels. And so we're going to part half of our Christmas Eve offering is going to help fund those efforts. And then for us here at St. Stephen, there'll be opportunities here in the future to literally be the hands and the feet and to go in these places and to help these communities rebuild. And you know, that's part of what it means to be God's host by participating in these efforts. I mean, these are just a few of the ways in which we have, and you're invited to be a part of that, or there in your own community in your own ways there, but to be God's hands, God's voice, to care for the people that are in need, you know. And so I want to encourage you, especially you know, throughout this Advent season, is to first recognize that you are part of God's earthly host and that God wants to use you. You're part of his earthly force to accomplish his purposes, to bring light and life and love and hope into this world, to remind others that darkness does not have the final word. God triumphs in the end. What the heavenly hosts remind us of, point us to, and we're called just to join with them here on earth. That leads me to that verse that you heard at the beginning of the message today. It's from it's verse 3 actually of "Let all mortal flesh keep silent." And you heard that. And what did it say? It said, "Rank on rank the host of heaven spreads its vanguard on the way. As the light of light it descendeth from the realms of endless day, that the powers of hell may vanish as the darkness clears away." Folks, we are the vanguard of the host. Vanguard of the host here on earth. Let us remember that. Let us recognize that. Let us choose to be a part of that. For it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen.